Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden.
Where we continue to follow the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden now.
Those are just some of the scenes overnight as thousands of Americans gathered in celebration of Osama bin Laden's death.
Former Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill says he has thought about the mission every day since that May Day in 2011.
From multiple conversations you had with Rob O'Neill over the past year and a half, how'd you get
And you described that his head kind of exploded
yes.
when you hit him.
I actually hit him three times because I shot him twice when he was standing and once on the ground.
That is the fucking American badass right there.
Go, go, go. We are not going for fame and we are not going for bravado. We are going for the single mom who dropped her kids off at elementary school on a Tuesday morning, and then 45 minutes later, she jumped to her death out of a skyscraper.
If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
I'm Rob O'Neill, and this is the Operator Podcast. Howdy, it is episode 87 of the Operator Podcast. I am Robert J. O'Neill. I will be hosting today. A lot going on in the world. You may have noticed if you turn the TV on, I recommend sometimes not doing it or getting online. All kinds of good stuff to talk about, all kinds of fun stuff to talk about. We're at home with the baby, so if I repeat myself, please bear with me. It is a lot of fun. Kids are a lot of work. I've said before the difference between war and raising a baby is at least in war we have rules. Other people write our rules, but we follow them. Oh, we follow them. The enemy doesn't necessarily follow them. But a lot of fun here. So again, if I do repeat myself, please forgive me. It is fun, though. All kinds of stuff happening on Capitol Hill, a lot of partisan politics and things like that. And if you're watching what's going on, it's always the I blame them, they blame us, we hate them, they hate us. It's brought up to, and I talk about politics quite a bit. I don't want to. It's rarely fun. I mean, you can make fun of it because it's such a clown show. But it's not that it's going to affect you. It's going to affect us, and we're seeing the effects of a lot of things with people who vote purely on emotion and not in reality. And we are at a point too where if you bring up truth, you get you can get canceled, you get yelled at, you get shouted down, and cancel culture. It seems like political correctness is almost protection for morons, because there are certain things that are just the truth, and that's it. But they'll yell at you because they feel a certain way, and you get clowns that are supposed lawmakers, and they're a problem. And then these lawmakers in D.C. that set up shop there, they live there forever. I mean, they live there until they die in office, and they appoint people, and Congress makes the laws, and then the president signs off on them. But you have all these places that are making what we've heard this word a lot. They make mandates, they make recommendations. People like the EPA, the CDC, government agencies, unelected officials that come up with these mandates, and they basically force you to do stuff. Or you go to jail, and it's going to affect you. Everything from the religion of climate change, how it's affecting places like Alaska, how it's affecting contractors, truck drivers, where they put these mandates in place. Where basically, they're hitting Alaska right now, and if we want to get into that, we can. But they're going to turn Alaska into a one huge national park that nobody can go to because climate change. In New York the other day, it's going. I always bring up New York. New York's like is the center of attention too. The major news stations are there, and the AP and stuff like that, that put out stuff to other outlets around the country comes out of New York. But one of the things in New York is they're putting mandates on pizza joint. Now New York's known for pizza. You know, Chicago too. I'm used to taking heat on the internet. I think Detroit style is the best pizza, whatever. But if you have a wood burning pizza oven, and New York's got a lot of pizza joints. If you've never been there, New York is a place where you can get it used to be where you can get the best $5 meal you've ever had and the worst $300 meal you've ever had. But pizza's there, and like buy the slice any time of day. New York's awesome too. When I lived in Midtown Manhattan, I loved it because it's a place where if it's not on your block, it doesn't exist, and they will deliver it to you. you can get it pretty much any time of day, and it's always some it's always some dude that barely speaks English that shows up in a raincoat, and he's always wet, which is pretty funny. I don't know how to explain that, but the thing they're doing is they're putting these mandates or whatever on pizza joints to basically stop it because they're worried about air quality. So that's it. That's what these government agencies and whatnot and politicians and all that crap. That's the problem in New York. Is the air quality of because of pizza ovens. If you've not been there recently, I think weed is legal. It doesn't matter what's legal in New York anymore, but that kind of hurts the air quality. You basically, if you walk down 42nd Street, you smell Motown. It's on. It's weed everywhere, and it's not the pizza joint. Plus, can you imagine living in a place where it smells like pizza? That's kind of cool. But they're worried about the air quality, and that's the thing that these politicians do, nonsense like that. And I think it's not all of this stuff is mistake, and not all of it is grandstanding or whatever. It's the more chaos they can sow, the more power they get to keep. And again, it's all personal power. And the reason I bring this up is because it does affect all of us. You know, we go back and forth, and we nitnoid each other about different issues, and it's always the same issue. I mean, what issue is going on? The border is the biggest one now. The southern border and the northern border, and illegal immigration. Even though we have one side of the aisle that doesn't say illegal, because again, that's the truth, but we can't say it because no one's illegal. Well, bullshit. If you cross the border illegally, you broke the law, and it's illegal. It's like if someone breaks into your house, you don't call them an undocumented fucking burglar. But that's the way it is, and you need to get away from the issues. The issues are one way to keep you distracted to what's actually happened. Obviously, the abortion things come up. You don't hear Democrats say abortion either. They say health care, women's health. And it's abortion, and they know that they can really fire up a certain part of their base. And then the Republicans know their base is fired up. And you're arguing about this kind of stuff, too. I don't want to get into abortion. I mean, I think that, personally, if anything makes the devil smile, it's abortion. That's my personal opinion. But it's not up to me to tell you what you're going to do. But right now, someone's getting spun up listening to this because that's their thing. And then climate change is another thing. That's their religion. They get spun up about that. But it's going to affect you. The hyperinflation, when the dollar collapses, is going to affect you. When you go to get a Big Mac and it costs $18, that affects you. And you're going to stop getting Big Macs. The State of the Union address was last week, and I'm sure you're tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of hearing about it. But it was a partisan yelling. It was an old dude yelling at you. Or if you're on the other side of the aisle, God knows how, you're yelling with him. But it was weird, and he kept saying the same shit. Well, we're going to tax the rich, and we're going to make them pay their fair share. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. It's not that we're getting enough revenue. Plus, when they talk about the corporations, and again, the people that don't pay attention, and you should be, they hear tax the rich. Fine. Yeah, great, I'm not rich, tax them. Tax the corporations. All right. You think they're going to pay that? I mean, use your head. Say they tax General Motors and they raise their tax from whatever, it's 21% now, and he wants to raise it to 26% because that'll solve the $1 trillion a year we're paying in interest on the loan. What do you think GM's going to do when they get their taxes go up? You think they'll say, well, I guess we'll just take this one on the chin, or are they going to raise the prices of their cars so that you can pay more? Do the math. They're going to do that. They're not going to get touched. You are. And the more they raise the taxes on everything, the more you pay. That's, you're going to pay more. And it's not, I mean, it's not even like stuff costs more. The dollar's worth less. And what I'm saying is it has to come back to politics because it is affecting you. If it was a reality TV show, it would be a pretty good one. It actually is. You know, we could laugh and pay attention, but this will affect you. This will affect your mortgage. This will affect your day-to-day. It will affect everything that you used to buy that you can't buy, how many jobs you have to work to maintain. I mean, even look at these college kids that are not college kids, but these young kids that are out of college, and they make those videos on TikTok and whatnot when, you know, in order to let China get into their accounts, because that's not real. They're just funny videos. But you'll hear them complaining about their quality of life. And I have to go to work, and I work this job, and I work three jobs, and I can't afford this. And I can't. Well, who'd you fucking vote for? I mean, it was awesome, you know, mean tweets, and Trump's bad, and I'm voting for Biden. Well, you reap what you sow, and it's the chickens are coming home to roost. And we're at a point too, unfortunately, this in this country where a couple hundred years, and that's when a dynasty ends. That's when a nation ends. And between unchecked spending, unchecked illegal migration, and bad people coming in, that's where we're heading. And we can complain and bitch about corrupt politicians all day long, which they are, and a lot of them too, I think, go to DC not to be corrupt, but they get corrupted by the system, by the lobbyists, by the big spending, by the donors, by the parties. And it's, you know, the parties themselves too. You've seen it with Kerry Lake in Arizona. I've seen it before with Democrats. And if you don't go on the party line, not only will you probably not win your election, you're going to get primary. They're going to put another person from your party up against him who listens to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, who I'm pretty sure both signed the Declaration of Independence. They've been there so friggin' long. But the point is, the politicians are corrupt, but the way they can not be corrupt is if they're not there. And how do they get in there? They get voted in by people. And you really got to pay attention to who's doing what for you. If they're doing anything for you, if they're doing anything, and again, I like to say that I'm an independent. I do not like party politics. The founding fathers do not like party politics. They said that the two-party system will be the end of it, and that's where we're at. But you need to take the good with the bad. And which one? It comes down to is it going to be your kid that's getting beat up by a gang because of the stupid politics they teach in schools, and everyone's a victim, and that's a bad guy, and so we're going to. You've seen the videos too. And again, even with the social media, that's part of the divide and conquer, because a lot of stuff on the internet's not real until it's in front of your face. Not everyone's bad. Most people are good, but you only know what you're taught, and people are being taught bad shit. The point is, we're voting in November, and I hate to say it, you've heard me say it, the incumbents are going to come back and they're going to get voted in. I don't know if it's name recognition. I don't know if people honestly think that the politicians who are running San Francisco are going to fix it. It's like congratulating the arsonist for putting the fire out. They're not going to put the fire out. The people that started the problem aren't going to fix it. They're going to keep doing whatever, and they're going to keep talking about what you want to hear to get your blood boiling so you vote on a motion. But it's up to the voter to get these people out. And it's going to be an interesting year because it's already happening. But like I said, something is up, something big, something suspicious. You can't quite pinpoint it, but you can't deny it either. All you have to do is trust your gut, listen to yourself, listen to it, and prepare. This is part of the preparation process. You need a food supply so you can prepare with My Patriot Supply. You've heard me bring them up before, and I'm being very serious. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for the uncertain future. Many of them choose 3-month emergency food kits. I have a bunch of those in my garage, and I recommend getting them. With 22 food and drink varieties, there will be no food boredom. Over 2,000 calories a day, there will be no starvation. And sealed inside ultra durable 4-layer packaging, these ready hour meals last up to 25 years in storage. That's a long time. That's where mine are. I hope I don't need them, but I have them there. Stock up on all the food kits your family needs at my website. I love this website. Go to preparewithrob.com. Preparewithrob.com. You'll get each food kit for $200 off. Preparewithrob.com. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Get these delicious meals, and I mean delicious. Get your kits at preparewithrob.com. They will ship fast. They will ship free. Preparewithrob.com. But there was a testimony. It's ongoing, and it was all over the news yesterday with Robert Hur, who is an attorney, special counsel, depending on which side of the aisle you're on, interview Joe Biden as far as classified documents and whatnot. And some of the stories that came out were just, it's theater, man. You can see when under the testimony, depending on which side of the aisle they're on, they're basically what happened is President Biden, not at the time he wasn't president, but he had leaked classified documents to his ghostwriter. He was writing a book, and I think his advance was $8 million, which is very good, by the way. I'm not sure if you know much about the process of writing a book, but to get an advance that size, pretty impressive, usually for world leaders and things like that, which he, I guess, qualified for. But he gave them to a ghostwriter. They were, they were trying to find out what went where, whatever. The ghostwriter and Joe Biden got rid of some stuff. They deleted a bunch of the emails, which is obstruction of justice and whatnot. And Hur was interviewing him, and basically he found him incompetent. He said that no jury would ever find Joe Biden competent because he's an old man that forgets a lot of stuff, and some of the stuff he forgets is pretty impressive. He didn't know when He didn't know when he was vice president. He was asking, was that when I was a vice president? And he was making like car sounds for his Corvette, like literally vroom, vroom, vroom. I don't think they've released the all the transcripts yet, but some of them are pretty weird. Talking to an old man. And basically, Robert Hur had to, in order to say no one's going to find him guilty or not competent, he had to release some stuff. So the Democrats were pissed about that. And they're saying it was a hit job, basically, that like Adam Schiff was saying things to him like, do you promise you won't take an appointment from Donald Trump if he gets reelected? It all comes back to Donald Trump, too. They said that Trump did something similar. What actually happened is Biden gave stuff to a ghostwriter to write a book to prove that he's a world leader. You know, not legal. I guess Donald Trump showed something to somebody because of an invasion of Iran, shit like that. I think both are not legal, but you can sort of tell. It doesn't matter which is legal. It matters which party you're on, because it turned into a clown show when they're talking to Robert Hur. Basically, what it is these lawmakers are up there and they're either yelling at him or they're coercing him. He actually kept his cool pretty well too, dealing with these people like Pramila Jayapal, who's a congresswoman from Washington. She's right outside of Seattle, which is a Looney Tunes anyway, which you can tell if you listen to her talk. And basically what it is, they keep talking about how it's my time, this is my time to talk, and it's like you're filibustering yourself. All you're doing is talking and talking and talking, making questions, spinning them a certain way so you're making a point, but you don't give the person testifying a chance to talk, and it's an argument about everything. And he was just trying to explain that he had to you need to give proof if you're not going to say the dude's competent, which he had to do, and he some of the stuff's crazy. Joe Biden was saying. It's just weird, though, that they can say he's not competent to stand trial, but he is competent to be the president of the United States. He is competent to potentially have his finger on the button. And this is a dude that you see him, too. I'm not going to bash Joe Biden, I don't think, today. But, I mean, even in his town halls, he's saying, am I allowed to take questions? He's always asking or saying, will I get in trouble? You're getting in trouble. What are you talking about? And it begs the question because, Washington is such a cesspool. Is that why they had him be the nominee when he ran against Donald Trump in 2020? Did they do it because everyone knows who Joe Biden is? He's been in office since 73 in D.C. They know that it's just old Joe and, aviator glasses Joe and just blue-collar Joe, and he'll just go back to normal. When even Barack Obama said never underestimate Joe's ability to screw things up, in a nutshell. But they could control him. Same reason he's running now. I mean, the State of the Union address that we saw the other night when he's yelling at people, either side of the aisle. What's going on? But again, this is affecting you. All this theater that's happening in D.C. is affecting you. We talked about it with inflation. We talked about it with the border security. The border security thing bothers me, too, because it's become a political thing. With Laken Riley, who was killed by an illegal, and she's, unfortunately, her family is now front and center because of, it's to a point where the president of the United States called the guy that murdered her, and the way he murdered her, horrible. Blunt force trauma on a college student who went out for a jog in the morning. He's here illegally, been arrested a bunch of times, but we can't get we can't get coordination between different law enforcement agencies because of the politics. The same thing we said on, September 12, 2001. How did we not see it coming? Or did we see it coming? Why won't they share intelligence with each other? Now we're at a point where Joe Biden's State of the Union address called her the wrong name, had a button with her name on it given to him by Marjorie Taylor Greene. He couldn't even say Laken. He called her Lincoln. And that's just an insult right there by not knowing it. But then when he gets done, he gets asked by some reporters from some of the liberal news networks because the Democrats were pissed that he said illegal immigrant instead of undocumented immigrant or whatever. They're arguing over words. They can't even get her name right. And they're worried about offending a murderer who shouldn't be here in the first place. That's where we are politically. And it becomes that border issue. President Biden is saying if only Congress would act, we can do something about the border. These are his executive actions that they bragged about one by one, that as soon as he got in office, he got rid of because we did have a decent border. The border's never been great and people are coming across, but now it's a point. And it's not, again, the wall is one thing. Yes, you can have physical barriers, but it is the politics that brings people in here. Why are they coming here? Because they get free stuff from you. You're paying for it. They the migrants from whatever country they're from, they get here and they realize that stuff is free. They're getting soldiers on the border, National Guard soldiers that I heard yesterday are only getting one hot meal a week, and these migrants in New York are getting three a day, three hot meals in a luxury hotel that you're paying for. And they get the debit cards that they can go get that you're paying for. And this is all because of the politics. They make it political like that. And the reason they made it so easy to get here, and these migrants get here and they tell their family members, here's what we're getting and you need to come here. And they're coming here and you've seen the caravans, a bunch of fighting age males, a bunch of military age males. They're coming here because of the policies, not because they can't climb a fence or dig a tunnel, which the people can, but the incentive to get here. So they keep coming, and Democrats want them here for votes. That's it. If they can sow in chaos and get more Democrat voters, it means they can stay in power. That's what they want. They don't give a shit about you. They care about themselves. And that's why they're coming here. And the border is very dangerous. But you see this political theater, and it goes on and on. And both sides are just saying, well, our guy, they can prosecute Donald Trump for one thing, but Joe Biden does basically the same thing, and they don't want to prosecute him. And then he's incompetent to stand trial, but he's competent to stay in the White House. And these are the people that are doing it. And the border's affecting you. We see with illegals in different cities, everything. I talked about it last week, from healthcare to the schools. How does it affect you? How's the line at the waiting room, at the emergency room? What about all the people that don't even speak English or Spanish? And it used to be a big deal. People got pissed about Dora the Explorer because she spoke Spanish, and they thought they were indoctrinating your kids to learn Spanish, which is probably a good thing to learn a second language. But now you got people that don't even speak Spanish, and they just tell the schools to figure out, and it all comes back to politics. The elected officials who appoint people that aren't elected, what's going on in the schools? Why are they teaching them what they? I was talking to my mother, I think, yesterday, and I'm not going to bash her or the schools, but like the stuff that they're teaching. She's a math teacher, and I said, they never taught me taxes in math class, but I don't think I've ever used the Pythagorean theorem either, but we use the shit out of that in school. Anyway, that's kind of just a bad joke, but what are they teaching now? It seems like to me, and I'm not in a school right now, and I don't go every single day, but again, social media, because they're trying to divide us and conquer us, and the algorithms that they send us stuff. But it seems to me that that schools and school boards are more interested in telling you who the teacher likes to sleep with, what their sex life is, and what your sex life is, and we shouldn't tell your parents. I mean, if you're telling kids certain stuff and we shouldn't tell your parents, what the hell is going on in there? Why do the kids need to know that? But it seems to me that's what's happening in anything where there's elected officials, the government's involved. It seems like it turns into shit, and we're watching it in real time, and it's going to affect us. I don't want to be just screaming the end is near and being, being the... You need to protect yourself. I mean, we're seeing it right now. What's the prime examples of what sounds great but doesn't work? Defund the police. Remember, everyone's pissed about the police, so we got to defund the police. And now the cities are being overrun to a point where it's almost chaos. And again, it comes back to, don't blame the politicians. It starts with the voter. And it all comes back to money, too, and what they're doing. Well, I'm going to get into a little bit of the new budget for 2025 that's outrageous, and what we're spending money on. And it goes back to, again, the politicians and what they can earmark for their state. But they get kickbacks from their friends, whatever museum or whatever kind of scientific experiments with shrimp on treadmills underwater, which happens. We have a spending problem. This is going to affect you too. I mean, I do like the saying, if you owe the bank $50,000, you have a problem. If you owe the bank $50 million, they have a problem. But we owe somebody some money, and we're paying $1 trillion a year in interest. The debt was $28 trillion when Biden came into office. Now it's up to almost $35 trillion, and we're growing it by $1 trillion every 100 days. And then you always hear the same argument again with, we need to spend more money to avoid a government shutdown. I'm all for a government shutdown. What do you think? I mean, the only time really that we see the government is when you get your paycheck. And if you look down on the taxes, or if you read your bill at a restaurant, especially in a blue city, and read all the extra incentives in there to pay more for your taxes, the government's there. They show up all the time, but you don't really see them doing other stuff. Yeah, I mean. You see them in places with automatic traffic violations, and they take pictures of your car, and they'll send you a bill. They always seem to have their hand out, and they're always on time with billing you. So we don't have a problem. Again, it's the spending that's the problem, and they won't stop spending. They're not even as fun as drunken sailors, because at least drunken sailors are fun. But I brought up the defund the police thing and the emotional arguments that people make. There's a story out of Pittsburgh. Have you heard this? From 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. in Pittsburgh, there will be no police officers. I think that's seven stations, right around six or seven stations, no police officers. There's call boxes. You can make a call. I think during the overnight shifts, there is 20 officers total, which they said, yeah, that's enough. We got it. But the issue is they Pittsburgh, I guess, they want 850 officers. They're down to 740 officers, which isn't enough, too. And you know how they're going to spin this, too, with no officers is if the crime is not reported, then technically crime goes down. So 3 a.m. to 7 a.m., no officers at all. And then the ones when there are officers there, they have call boxes you can call. How do you do that? Like, for burglary, press 1. If you're being assaulted, press 2. If you've been murdered, please hang up or some shit like that. But I think the biggest issue with that is for the criminals. Do you wake up early or do you just stay up late? Because that, to me, seems like the time to do it. They're saying that... you know, they're going to spin this again that, well, that's just to report a crime. If it's an emergency, they're going to show up. How are they going to show up if there's no officer on duty overnight? So that's one. And why are they down officers? Think about this, too, because you need to come back to the humanity of everything. Why would you, in cities like this, why would you want to be a police officer? Why would you want to get treated like that? Why would you want to think that if I engage, someone's got a cell phone out and they're going to edit it to prosecute me? Because the police are bad, and we're taught the police are bad. We see it with the firefighters. They're booing Letitia James, and now they're tracking down the people that booed her. Why would you want to work in those cities anymore? Maybe that's the plan for them. Maybe they want chaos, and they're getting it. So nobody wants to be a police officer. They're down. So and the budgets are getting cut, so you can't afford it. There's no cops. That's for you. That's you need to learn how to defend yourself. You need to have stuff in your house to defend yourself because they might not be coming. And then other things with you might not remember, but there was a big issue with disease and vaccines recently, a couple years ago. Everybody get vaccine. You got people threatening each other and each other's careers over getting a vaccine. And that was COVID or whatever. But right now, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is sending teams to Chicago to a center, like a big warehouse that's housing undocumented newcomers or whatever, because of the measles, I guess. Some of these new arrivals have reported, there's a couple cases of measles that have been reported. And measles, I think we had vaccines for that a long time ago. We pretty much got rid of it. But now that we're letting everybody in from wherever, you are potentially getting measles, which is really, really contagious. And some of them, like, they're saying these are people that are getting fake documents to cross the border. I doubt they have their vaccination cards, but they're showing up. And if you show up and haven't had your measles shots, they, like, quarantine you for 21 days or whatever. I'm assuming they pay you to be there. But they provide increased meal services, things like that. But some of these kids that came here with the measles, highly contagious. They're even saying if you go into a hospital with the measles that they need to quarantine you in a different room, and then if the healthcare providers come into the room, they need to be properly, I guess the mask thing and all your protective suits but they send some of these kids to school, highly contagious, but I doubt they pass that on. Anyway, the symptoms for measles, in case you see it, is a fever higher than 101 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, if you got 101 fever, you probably got something going on. But then runny nose, watery eyes, and a cough. They generally start about 14 days after being exposed. So you can thank a lot of politicians for letting people in from different places. I mean, if you've seen too, if like going to different places, different immune systems and stuff, you know, the measles are here. We've got places too. Like I saw in Afghanistan one time, we had a kid get burned with boiling water, and one of our corpsmen gave him, we had these lollipops. They were actually, I think, fentanyl, which is another thing. But it almost killed them because it was an anesthesia. These are painkillers, not the stuff coming across the border. But just different places, different. Believe it or not, some people are different in different spots too. But like I've seen those videos on the internet too, where they found an undiscovered tribe in a jungle or on an island somewhere, and then the Westerners go in there I'm assuming, to colonize, and then they meet them, and then they all die of whatever disease we give them. So people are different. I was watching a thing, too, on the news. Lawrence Jones from Fox was down in New Orleans, and he was asking – this is a fun story. He was asking some people he was interviewing, college kids. It's spring break in New Orleans. A lot of good spring break coming up. Spring break always brings the best videos from different places, people acting up and whatnot and getting in. The interviews are great, too, because a lot of people just have no clue, don't care. Again, that's a problem because they still – their vote counts just like yours, and they get certain people in office. But he was interviewing somebody – and asked, how do you start the day? Again, we're talking about, do we get up early? Do we stay up late? And this woman said, he's like, how do you start your day? And she said something along the lines of, well, you know, I put on my bronzer, do some cocaine, and blah. And that kind of stopped the interview. And I guess, I didn't see, he was explaining this. I guess the friends she was with were saying, this is Fox. Like, your parents watch this. What are you doing? And that's one thing, too. You know, you don't want to get busted telling your parents or admitting on spring break that you're doing blow. But also, I would consider, you know, 100,000 people a year are dying of fentanyl coming across the border, and there you see people dying because it's laced, and a lot of the stuff is laced. Probably not worth the buzz to potentially take a lethal dose of fentanyl, but some people are doing it. They're admitting it on TV, and this is spring break. That's it. But that's another thing across the border, too, because, again, with China's kind of behind that, too, destroy your enemy from within, which they're doing with fentanyl, the border stuff. And, again, why are they crossing the border? Because it's open. Why is it open? Because of politicians. Why does China rarely get mentioned? Well, because they're in politicians' pockets, everything from the honeypot to how do they pay them off? You don't need to go too far to see what's going on. But that's, again, the only way to beat them is at the ballot box. Maybe. It depends on how many mail-in ballots they can harvest. Again, it's the spending, though. And, I mean, it is fun to research. I do like to research stuff. I read a lot. And when I'm doing chores around the house with the newest member of the family isn't screaming, I listen to things, too. And it is entertaining. Dr. Senator Rand Paul, he was talking about some of these earmarks they put in these bills. It's just adding stuff to bills to they're adding pork. This is 605 pages with 6,000 earmarks. And he was talking about some of them. I'm going to go through some of them you may have heard of. And tell me if you think this is wasteful, because I can think of for an example, instead of spending money in Ukraine, we could be helping the homeless, maybe. We could be helping with mental health. As someone who considers himself an expert on being crazy, mental health is important, and we can help I want to help Americans, but then I'll probably be called a nationalist or a white nationalist or something. You know, I'll be labeled something because I believe in America first. I think we should be helping our veterans instead of current wars. But again, how are the big wigs going to get paid? You know, I mean, you know, that's a slippery slope, too. Like, I love when I was in combat, the person who designed the Hellfire. I'm glad we had those scientists. I just think we waste a lot of money because of contracts. Because just because a war ends doesn't mean the contract is up. But then there's the ridiculous spending that comes along with it, too. The healthcare thing. We bitch about the vaccines, but we do love getting medicine. And every time, you know, it's one thing to watch the nurses dance during the lockdown, which I think is not a problem. Because that was at a time, I'm not going to talk about COVID, but that was at a time when nobody knew it was happening. We didn't know what the hell was going on, and the nurses were on the front lines, too. So if they need to help their morale by making a dancing video, that's fine. I don't care. What the hell was I talking about? But some of the spending that happened, 605 pages, he being Senator Dr. Rand Paul, he spoke on the Senate floor ahead of a vote on a $468 billion in spending, which doesn't sound like a lot because we use the word billion and trillion. So I remember when like a million sounded awesome. We could get a million, but now it's up to billions and whatnot. But here's some of the stuff he pointed out on some of these earmarks. $4 million for a waterfront walkway in New Jersey. All right. I mean, you know, they're building towards the state. That seems like a lot. $4 million. Let's say you don't even know anything about pouring concrete. Could you learn and then build a walkway for less than $4 million? What if you got to keep the rest for yourself? Learn how to pour concrete or whatever comes with that. Learn how to grow and cut grass and then build a walkway. But you get to keep the rest. I bet you could do it for a hell of a lot less than $4 million. But that's one of the earmarks that you paid for, by the way. I don't even know if you've – have you been in New Jersey? The Garden State? New Jersey gets a bad rap, too, because – If you fly into Newark, you go right by the industrial parks. In order to get to New York, you can fly into Newark, which isn't bad. But you see the bad part of New Jersey. It's actually, they got some nice beaches and stuff there in New Jersey. I actually golf at Arcola in New Jersey quite a bit too. Great view of the skyline in New York. New York's another one of those places too, like San Francisco, where it just looks awesome from a distance. Don't stand in front of the train. But yeah, $4 million walkway. $3.5 million for Detroit's Thanksgiving Parade Float Makers new headquarters. There's a headquarters for Thanksgiving Parade floats. You would think of the parades. We got St. Patty's Day coming up, parades, and then like you'd think that would just be one headquarters, not specifically Thanksgiving Parade Float Makers headquarters for $3.5 million. Again, I bet we could build a float for a lot less than that. $1.75 million for the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. $1.75 million for the Met. And that's where people get together, too, to bash conservatives, I guess. That's, I think that's where AOC wore the tax the rich dress. And by the way, how did she afford tickets to that on her salary? I mean, you know, granted, congressmen and women are so good at predicting the market, they can make $140,000 a year and turn it into $30 million, which is a lot of money. But I doubt she could afford it. And if a donor got her, I think that's illegal, but not that anyone cares. She is a Democrat, so you do you. $1 million for Environmental Justice Center in New York City. Environmental justice. A lot of words in there. But $1 million. So I guess $1 million, we can get rid of the pizza. $500,000 for gardens in San Francisco. How about we cut that to $100,000 and pay some dude to clean up all the poo and needles? But $500,000 for that. $1 million to a nonprofit in Minnesota to build a coffee shop and a greenhouse for refugees. I just read that for the first time. $1 million to build coffee shops and a greenhouse for refugees. Refugees. I guess they're going to make sure the terrorists who are crossing the border are hydrated. $1 million to help San Francisco organic dairy farmers. That's kind of cool. I'm going to get into the raw milk thing. I think I'm going to try that. I guess you get a glass of raw milk, unpasteurized. You drink one every 30 minutes for your life. $500,000 for a cybercrime vehicle for Honolulu Police Department. At least they're doing something for the police, Honolulu, rock and roll. $1.2 million for a bike path resurfacing. Resurfacing a bike path in Rhode Island. I don't know why they would do that when the bikers just seem to be in the middle of the street. $209,000 for HVAC replacement for the Charlestown Opera House in West Virginia. So that's 10 of the 6,000 wasteful earmarks that you're paying for. And I just wanted to tell you that, too, to realize where your money is going. And places like, I was reading about Senator Susan Collins. She's, I think she's a senior Republican senator. She's from Maine. And she's with a dude named Angus Young, the other senator. He's an independent, but up in that part of the country, it means you caucus with Democrats. It means you're a Democrat. And let's see, right here, she's the highest ranking Republican on the Senate Appropriations Committee, which means she handles the purse. And that means she gets to fund specific projects. And she has put Maine at the front of the line for funding. Maine, that's awesome. Maine's great. Maine is set to receive the most funding for earmarks of any state. And they don't have as many people as a lot of places, but because she and Angus Young can say there, whenever you get one person from one party and one person from another party, you can say that we worked to, it's across the aisle. So they got a lot of money up there. That's what they're spending it on. That's where a lot of your money is going. So good job, Maine. Good job, Susan Collins and Angus Young. That's great. And that's what they're doing too, when they should, again, be spending money probably on a border bill. But why would you need a border bill when we can argue about why we don't have one? And speaking of the border too, there was a hearing with Christopher Wray, who's the director of the FBI, and he actually came out and said significant increases in threats against the U.S. made by foreign entities, including China, Russia, and North Korea, Iran. And the one I've been hearing about, too, has been Uzbekistan. There's Uzbeks coming in. They've caught a couple of them. And all the stands over there, all of the countries over there, when we would fight, especially in Afghanistan, you could run into different people. Like in Iraq, they weren't as hardcore in Iraq as they were in Afghanistan, because you're dealing with the stands over there. In Iraq, you fight Iraqis, you fight some foreign fighters like from Jordan, Saudi, Syria, stuff like that. But when you run into dudes from some of the stands or Chechnya, God forbid, you run into some really severe guys. Like the kind where you realize, and I've talked about some of these stories where you're in a fight so bad that this day is going to end one of two ways. We're either going to win or we're going to die. And it was no joke to say, if you're in a gunfight like that, you need to save at least one bullet, and that bullet's for yourself, because you do not want to get captured by some of these guys. But they are crossing here. And I don't know if you know this, but Ramadan started on Sunday. And Ramadan's a holy month. And some people, some terrorists take that very serious. That's the time that you want to commit jihad. And, they're crossing. He was saying that the U.S.-Mexico border is a problem. They're crossing there. They're coming in. And it's bad. Like I said, we ran into different types of people, and we run into guys like Tajiks and Uzbeks and stuff like that. You're in for a serious fight. One of the weirdest stories, there's weird stories over there. Combat's not like it is in the movies. A lot of times it's quicker. A lot of times it's easier. Sometimes everything goes sideways and shit just, it goes out the window. We got in a fight one time where, the only time we found I actually have a picture of it. I think I might have posted it before, but we had snipers on the roof. But when we went up there with these motorcycles outside, and what they would do, and we learned that tactic too. We would actually take motorcycles sometimes on helicopters and then drive them around at night, because it's, they would see our tactics, adjust to our tactics. We would change them. We would try to get more latitude on the battlefield. And one way was with motorcycles, because they're used to hearing them. So if you ride past, like, it's like motorcycles and dogs. If you ever have never been to Afghanistan or Iraq and you want to know what it's like, go start a really shitty motorcycle and then have like 9 dogs barking the whole time. That's basically, you're basically a combat vet at that point. But we found these motorcycles in a secluded place. And so obviously they turned out to be Uzbeks. Well, I mean, that's what... their documents said after we killed them. But those don't necessarily have to be real, too, because they're coming across the border with fake documents. Not that it matters. As long as they're vaccinated, those need to be legit. But, if they have a passport, maybe they can even vote. But we ran into some Uzbeks one time, and it was actually a story where one of our snipers had a shot in through one of the windows, but he said the only thing he could see was the dude's ass. But he killed him with we call that a buckwheat. If you've never heard of it, he got a buckwheat kill on an Uzbek. Which there's not really no point to that story. I heard Uzbek, and then I thought of that dude. But yeah, they're coming. And I really like to have fun. That's how social media started too. Having a good time, and it just turned into just chaos and depression and anxiety. And I'm not trying to do that with the Operator Podcast today. I'm just trying to instill the importance of your voice. The importance of working together instead of the divide and conquer, which is happening online, not in real life again. So you got to realize that it's not all real, but this is real. And everyone, both sides of the aisle, need to take it into consideration. I say that, the weapons are easy to get here. It's easy to find stuff to use. There are already sales here from different organizations working together to try to... to try to hurt us, to try to hurt the infrastructure, destroy the great Satan. Once they get rid of the United States, they can get rid of Israel, stuff like that too. And getting weapons here, and then, I mean, think about the first place you're going to go is a gun-free zone, right? Go where there's the path of least resistance, which are going to be schools, like I said. Tired of talking about it, but I bring it up because hearing of these people crossing in the this time of year, the holy month of Ramadan, a lot of them are organized, but some of them don't need to be. They just need... an opportunity. And it made me think of the Beslan school attack in Russia in 2004, where 330 people were killed, mostly school children, because these Chechens, I mentioned them again, they're serious people. They haven't forgotten about us. You know, we have the clocks, they have the time. And just because you're not at war with them doesn't mean they're not at war with you. They remember stuff too, but they deliberately just targeted young kids because they want to traumatize the Russian civilians, because the Chechens and the Russians don't get along. So September 1st, 2004, I think 32 terrorists went to this school, and it was there were parents and relatives there celebrating the opening day of the new school. So they knew there'd be parents, knew there'd be kids, and they took them all hostage. And they put them into the gymnasium. They rigged it with explosives, suicide bombers, and stuff like that. And they don't care. They don't care about you. So they didn't feed them anything. And after like 2 days, some of the people resorted to drinking their own pee. And then the Russian special forces, I think the Spetsnaz, hit it with some kind of gas to subdue them, but it killed people. And then they went in with everything from missiles and tanks, and they, a lot of people died. Like I said, 330 people died in the attack, and, you know, gunfire, chaos, and suicide bombers, not a good place, but it's a school in Russia, and just because something bad has never happened doesn't mean it won't. Look what 19 people did on 9/11 here. Wide open border because of politics, and that sucks. Stuff to think about, and it's going to turn from if you see something, say something, to if you see something, you better do something. So here we are. Make sure you know how to defend yourself. That's that. But I don't want to get too down the drain, so I'm going to tell you a quick story, something that happened. I was hit up by Megyn Kelly for her show because I guess they were doing a New York Times article, and I had a response to this too, where Kate Winslet, the actor, was filming Avatar: The Way of Water, I think it was called, and they said, the New York Times said that she miraculously held her breath for 7 minutes and 15 seconds. I didn't buy it. Nothing against her. I just think that's an exaggeration. I did call some. Well, what Megan said on her show was, I'm friends with Megan, and I've been on her show a bunch, and she said, what would Rob O'Neill say about this? And they asked, so I called some friends. My buddy Mitch, who I interviewed a couple weeks ago, Mitch Aguiar, said, and he's a physical specimen. If you don't follow Mitch, do it. But he said his best, I think, was 3 minutes and 13 seconds. My best was around 250. That's like at Bud's. Not in the water, but sitting there practicing breath holds, because if you can hold your breath in SEAL training, basic underwater demolition SEAL training, the more you can hold your breath, the better. So mine was about 250. I do have some guys claiming a little higher than that, but most guys were right around 3 minutes. But Kate Winslet, I guess, 7 minutes and 15 seconds. Now, I talked to Jeff Gum. GUM, Sunga Life. If you don't follow them, definitely do it. Check out Sunga Life. That's cool stuff. But he does a lot of diving stuff, reef stuff. He's a great dude. And one of the people with whom he's done dives is Ocean Ramsey, and she's a scientist. She's famous for diving with Deep Blue, the largest great white to ever be, I think, video. She's out there without a cage diving with this huge great white. And pretty awesome. She's a badass. And I guess her record was 6 minutes and 30 seconds holding her breath, which is impressive. But I guess now the most impressive thing about Kate Winslet was, well, not when she was playing Rose in Titanic, and remember the scene with the hat, and she looked up, beautiful, great actor. She played Mary of Easttown, which is a show about Pennsylvania, which is really good. And she's from England, and she had that Pennsylvania accent. They were making fun of her on Saturday Night Live one time, and they kept saying murder. That's kind of how the accent sounded, but she pulled that up. So great actor, nothing against her. I'm just not buying it. I think for once the New York Times might be full of it. I don't think she can hold her breath for seven minutes and 15 seconds. But if you can hold your breath for over 7 minutes, man, you're never out of the fight.